Good morning. Thank the Lord to be here in this meeting. I feel blessed in my soul. I love being with other people who love God. And I love this time of year. The world commercializes it and makes things of it that I don't approve of. But I love to stop, and we can do this any time of year, but it seems like that the songs go through my head and the wonderful story that we heard about some of last night in the message. And I want to ask you this morning, what did Jesus bring you? If he brought it to you, are you able to receive it? I want to read in Isaiah 26 in the first verse. Appreciate your prayers this morning. Most of Isaiah's book is dedicated to prophesying about the new time where Jesus would come and what he would bring. And oh, what a vision Isaiah had. If you read his writings, think about some of the things he wrote. The people that have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon them hath the light shined. He didn't just prophesy about Jesus, but you read chapters like chapter 41, where he's talked about what the people who received the gift of Jesus Christ would be like. It's going to be like an oasis in the desert. And well, I'm going to plant all these different kinds of trees. And it's going to be for the weary person and for the traveler. I was in Africa this last week. And I flew over the Great Sahara Desert. I believe it's the largest desert in the world. And I was marveling because I knew we were going over 500 miles an hour, but we flew over this desert for hours. And I thought, I wonder how people get from one place to the other. And yeah, sure, they can do it like I'm doing it, but you know, people did it back then too. And they did it with caravans and they would stop at these places. You know what an oasis is? It's a place in the desert that there's a source of water that comes up. And you've got desert and sand all around, but in this one place, you've got palm trees, you've got deep, cold water, you've got a place that the travelers can be refreshed, and that's how the Lord wants us to be, where we can be a benefit to those around us. Do we not live in a desert? Amen. Spiritually? So I look at the scriptures in Isaiah and I marvel. And I believe also in that 41st chapter, we're not going to turn there, but it says that when people see that, they're going to know that the Lord, that is the Lord's doings. And we want to live, I've been touched with the thought recently that we want to live in a way. Do you know anyone can be civil? Do you know anyone can have self-control to an extent? Do you know anyone can be polite? Do you know anybody can love those that love them? But the Lord throughout history has always wanted to manifest His power. And in these last days, this is the way that He does it. By changing our nature where people will look upon us and see that there's an oasis and know that it's nothing but the hand of the Lord. There is no God that can deliver after this sort. So I want to go to Isaiah, the 26th chapter, and what I've said so far really is not the main thrust of my burden this morning, but I just want you to, I want to encourage you. If you haven't read the book of Isaiah, read it. Isaiah 26 and verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation will keep, that which keepeth the truth may enter in. You know, This is talking about when Jesus came and where the gates of God's kingdom would be open, and whoever is willing to keep the truth can enter in. That's what it means. And so the gates are open to every one of us this morning if we will love the truth. I want to talk about truth a little bit this morning. This is my burden, is truth. Psalms 15, the first verse. It says it's a psalm of David. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Maybe that's enough of that chapter. But there are things that we have to do in order to enter into God's kingdom. It says that the righteous nations which keepeth the truth. What is truth? Pilate asked that question. What is truth? I'll tell you what truth is. If the Lord said it, it's truth. And the Lord himself is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. Did you know that there are things it is not good enough for us to say God has truth, God has love, God has light. He's the very essence of those things. And when we follow him, he makes us to where we are part of him. And I have some thoughts about that, and it's too much for us to deal with today. But you know, the Lord wants us to know him. I want to ask you, how could we ever know someone if we didn't really understand what they were about? The Lord said, I want you to know me. Come unto me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I want to come in and I want to sup with you. And part of us knowing him means that we take on part of his nature. We take on his nature. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. How do we know what love is if we haven't experienced it? True love. How do we know what light is if we have not had the light that shines in our soul and reflects through us? How can we know what God is, and how can we know who God is and know what is he has made up of if we haven't received that into our souls and been partakers of the divine nature? The Lord wants us to intimately know him this morning, and he is seeking people that seek the truth, that keep the truth. I'm thinking about truth this morning. You know, I thought about the story of Abraham. And there was a time that he went down to the land of the Philistines, and he said to Sarah, you know, you're beautiful. I know the king's going to recognize that. I don't want to lose you. I want you to tell the king you're my sister. And it caused quite a stir over that. Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, we won't take the time to read it this morning, but he was a man that feared God. And he took Sarah out of the innocency of his heart, and the Lord said, you better give her back because she's another man's wife. He said, I didn't know. And I've always wondered what he felt like after God said, this man that you took her from is a prophet. He's going to pray for you. He didn't tell all of the truth, but he's going to pray for you anyway. You know, the Lord puts us in those kind of places sometimes too. And the best thing to do is to humble ourselves down and do what the Lord wants us to do, and not say, you know what, because this person's not keeping the truth and because he's not following, then I don't have to do that. I'm gonna do my own thing. But he did that. But then I am very interested in what he told Abraham. He said, I've given you 1,000 pieces of silver. And I read most of the versions, and the commentators agree that what he said next was said in sarcasm. He said, I've given you 1,000 pieces of silver to buy yourself a veil. It's a covering to your eyes. And then the Septuagint says at the very last, he said, and in all things speak the truth. Adam Clark says, what is truth? He said, it is anything said or done. Or what is a lie? It is anything said or done with the intention of making someone else believe that which is different than the truth. And when we care about the truth, I want to tell you, why are we talking about that this morning? The Lord cares about us telling the truth. He cares about us telling it to our fellow man, to our brothers and sisters. And I want to tell you, if we're not honest with others, we're not going to be honest with ourselves. And that is the condition by which we may... What did He say? Open the gates that the righteous nation with which what? Which keepeth the truth can enter in. And that's the very reason why, like we heard last night, the rulers of Israel and the people that were in Bethlehem at the time when Jesus was born did not receive the communication that the wise men did and the shepherds did. It was because they were not living to the truth that they already know. I want to go to another scripture in Isaiah 28, verse 14. You ever wonder why the angel in Bethlehem didn't just light up the sky and say, there's a Savior born? And everybody, whether they wanted to or not, heard and was just overshadowed by this angel. And they heard the voice and they heard the angel singing glory to God in the highest. He didn't do it like that, did he? He appeared unto some lowly, ignorant shepherds. He also made himself known. He gave enough information to the wise men. And they had to make a long journey, but they found him. And they found what they were looking for. Isaiah 28 and 14. I want to talk a little bit about Israel and what they were doing at the time that Isaiah wrote this. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. The Pharisees had it together. When Jesus was there, they had the scribes, the Pharisees, the rulers. They were powerful. They were wealthy. There was nobody that could really challenge them. They had the last word in Israel. They had, whenever they said something in the synagogue, it wasn't really contested. They had a plush lifestyle. They had, it seems like, everything that a person would want. They had the authority. But I'll tell you what God said to them. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Why didn't the angel broadcast Jesus' birth? You know, God knows how to reach every one of us. And He could have done that if He wanted to. Do you think the shepherds, I'm just guessing that the shepherds were some very ignorant people. Maybe they didn't know how to read. Maybe they had never heard the prophecies. Maybe they, I don't know what they knew. But I can think of them as living a very lowly lifestyle and just being humble. And all they knew how to do was just cry out to God and say, Lord, I love You. I want to serve You. I'm not educated. I don't know a whole lot. But I'm doing the very best that I can. And I don't think they even knew that Jesus was supposed to be born at that time. You know, they had prophecy that determined the year that the Messiah was going to be born. They had prophecy that determined the city. And so my question is, why weren't there people that were there and say, you know what? The Messiah is going to be born here this year. And they weren't, why didn't they have some sort of a prayer vigil and saying, Lord, come to us. Bring Your Messiah to us. We want to see Your kingdom and the excitement. There wasn't any of that. And the shepherds, you know, I think that if they would have known that it was going to come, they would have been excited, but they didn't know. The Lord was merciful, and the Lord helped them and reached them even in their ignorance and came and said, "Listen, there's a Savior born. This is the Christ. This is the Messiah that you've been looking for." They didn't have to be educated, folks. You and me today, God will reach us wherever we're at. God knows how, as long as we do the very best we can, and we look for all the truth, and we seek all the truth that we can, and we walk in the light of everything that we possibly know, the Lord will meet that. The Lord shone the star so that the wise men could find him. They had some more knowledge, and all the Lord had to do was produce a star, and they followed that. But you know, the Pharisees had all that too. The Pharisees had the prophecies, the rulers, they had the words of the Lord, and they knew that Bethlehem was the place, and they knew the year, but they did nothing. And you know, the Lord gives respect to the choices that we make. It's really about the only thing that we have that's truly our own is our choice. We have that. And when God honors our choice, He sends light to us according to the understanding that we have and to that which we have already responded to. Our understanding, our light, what we see of God is directly proportional to that which we have already responded to. This morning, I feel like I have not so much a message as an encouragement and an exhortation. You know, light is going to shine in this meeting. We've been praying for it. We have messages that come across these pulpits. We have encouragement that comes, and light shines in our lives. And when we see light, it is in our best interest, and it is our responsibility that we walk in all the light that we receive. If we know in our heart that that is light, and that it is something that we have not understood before, you know, the Lord expects us to walk in it. I want to encourage us to do it this morning. He said that the Pharisees, or the rulers of Israel, said we've made an agreement with hell and death. We've made lies our refuge. You know what light does? The scripture talks about Jesus being the day star that shone. The moon was like a type of the old law. There was some light. You know, the moon gets its light from the sun anyway. And there was some light back then, and the Bible talks about things that God winked at because of people's ignorance, because the light wasn't there. But you know, the light does two things. When it shines, it makes manifest everything, good or bad. When you turn the light on, it doesn't do me any good to say that row of chairs isn't there. I can see it's there. It might have been okay for me to say that before the light was on. Maybe I tripped over one of them. Maybe I didn't know it was a chair. I didn't know it was there. When we turn the light on, the light makes manifest everything that's in our hearts, good and bad. And when the light shines, it does something else. The light warms and energizes. The light, you know, Jesus was the light. And He came and shed a great light on the world. And when He did, He at the very same time, He brought the grace to live according to the light that He shone. And so we have a responsibility this morning to walk in the light that we have. I want to encourage us in this meeting that if you see light, if you have the Spirit of the Lord speak to your heart, I want to tell you what the scripture says to do. James 1st chapter. verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." There is a time that the Lord visits us. And when He comes, it's like holding a looking glass up in front of us. And we see things that we need to correct, things that we need to change, understanding that we didn't have before. But did you know we can't just hold on to that and take it and say, you know what? I'm not ready for that right now. You know the Lord knows what we're ready for. And when He comes and He holds up that mirror in front of our face, it doesn't really do any good for us at that point to say, you know what? I'm not ready for that yet. Yes, I understand what the truth about this is, but I can't deal with it right now. But later, I'm going to deal with it later. You know, the scripture says that we're going to forget. And there are things that we can understand, and when light shines on our path, I just think sometimes I get very frightened when maybe we'll have a word that goes forth from the pulpit and I can feel the conviction in the building. And I can feel the Lord stirring and the Spirit of the Lord moving. And I want to tell you a personal story. A while back, someone preached a message and the Lord was calling me. The Lord was calling me that week to preach. And I was struggling against it. But the Lord sent a message one evening, and it was a message that didn't have anything to do with anything that was really particular to my life. It was one of those come and be saved messages. Fire and brimstone. You don't get saved, you're going to hell. And I was sitting in my seat and I thought, you know, and I was looking around saying, well, I hope people will respond to this, give their hearts to Jesus. The Lord started talking to me about something that was totally unrelated, but it was something in my life that the Lord wanted me to consecrate. Folks, when the Lord holds up a mirror in front of our faces, it is not good enough to say, you know what? If I go down there, I'm going to look like a fool. Because I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not a backslider. I'm not a sinner. And so I'm not going to take care of this right now because I don't want to be embarrassed. I'm going to go away. And you know, there's a time when the Lord deals with us. There's a time that the light shines in our path. And we see that. We see what kind of man we are. And if we walk away, and I thought when I was sitting there, the Lord began dealing with me, and I went down to the altar. And you know, the Lord met me down there. It was not something that had anything to do with what the message was about, but the Lord met me down there, and He gave me something, and I was able to get some victory in my soul. But you know, if I would have walked away from that, please, in this meeting, I want to exhort us, to encourage us. If you feel the Lord pricking your heart in this meeting, if you feel the Lord dealing with you, don't walk away from it because you forget what manner of man you are. You forget because the light doesn't just stick around forever. The Lord said, I want to tell you what will happen eventually. If we don't walk in all the light, you know, that's all that happened to the rulers of Israel. The Lord shone light, but there was light before. It's not like there wasn't any. There was some light that the Lord shone. And the rulers in Israel missed because they weren't walking in the light that they had. And when we don't walk in the light that we have, and we decide, you know what, I'm going to still try to serve the Lord and I want to put on a good show here. Maybe we won't even say that. Maybe we'll say, you know, I'm going to still come to church. I want to still sing the songs. But this over here, I'm just going to forget about it because I'm just not ready to deal with that. I want to tell you that we have growth. We have choice points. It's not just that we come to the altar and we get saved and then that's it. And then we go and we get sanctified and that's it. And we've got the Holy Spirit now and all my giants are gone and I've got all the light and I've got all the understanding. And now it's just, I'm going to roller coaster camp meetings and it's not like that. You know, when they entered the land of Canaan, they had just begun to kill their giants. And when we enter the land of Canaan, which is a spiritual type of when the Holy Spirit floods our soul, we're going to have giants to kill. I'm not talking about, oh, I'm gonna start sinning a little bit less here and a little bit less there. We have things that are part of our nature, that are part of our makeup, that thought processes and attitudes and things like that that need to be destroyed. And when we walk in the light of our understanding, the Lord will be faithful to us. The Lord has always met people exactly where they are at, but it has to be where they're at. You can't give 90% and expect God to meet you. There's going to be a gap. If you reach almost as far as you can, the Lord will not meet you. I find it a little bit difficult to talk about these things. But may the Lord help us this morning to reach and to walk in the light that we have, that we know. We don't have to worry about that which we don't know. We don't have to think, you know, I wonder if I'm doing something that's displeasing to the Lord. You know, truth is hard to accept sometimes. Truth is hard to know sometimes. David said, and this should be our prayer every day, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I remember one time I was on a job, and I was with a crew of men that we were making things happen. We were doing a lot of work. We were making things happen quickly. I felt like we were skilled in the area that we were working. And another crew came on the job, and they said, "We are the fastest trim carpenter." They said, we hang crown faster than anyone in the world." And I thought, yeah, right. You come work with us for a while. And I shouldn't have thought. Shame on me. But that's what I thought, and guess what? They were right. I don't know if they were the fastest in the world, but they blew us out of the water. And I was looking at them, and I thought, wow, and you know what happened? We got together as a crew, and we started talking about it, and we said, you know what? And we started making excuses. They're running a different type of crown than we are. And then they have this situation and that situation that's in their favor. And by the time we had it all said and done, we had it figured out where we were still just as fast as they were. And I went home, and the Lord started talking to me. What good is that? What good is it if you say, this is how it is, and it's not? What kind of benefit is it? And I wrestled with it for a long, and we might have to do that. We might have to wrestle, but I'll tell you what I did. I went back the next morning. After I had struggled with it, and I went to the head guy on the other crew, and I said, "What are you doing? You want to tell me some of your secrets?" He said, "Sure." And he started showing me. He said, "You don't cut it like this, you cut it like this. You do this trick and you do this trick." And he spent a long time training me. You know, I went home from that job and probably sped up by 50% or better. How much do you think I would have sped up if I would have gone home and had it all in my mind how we were just as good as them? I just didn't want, we were proud is what we were. You know, we can have that get in our way. You know, the rulers in Israel, when Jesus came, they thought they had it all. They thought they had it all. They didn't want anybody. It's not that they were so concerned about keeping the commandments of God that they didn't want to change because they were afraid of offending God. That's not what it was at all. They were proud in their own imaginations. And the scripture in Isaiah said, we have hid ourselves under a refuge of lies. And then there's a scripture that talks about when the judgment comes, saying to the rocks and the mountains, "Fall on us." Because that's all we've got left. All the ideas. It's not talking about literal rocks and mountains, but the ideas and the things that we've trusted in and the things that we have put our put stock in and we said, this is true. You know, Jesus is the plumb line. You know, Jesus is the light. When He shines the light on our path, there's nowhere else to go. When He shines understanding and when we turn away from that, I have seen, I want to give a warning this morning in the fear of the Lord. I have seen people that came to hear truth and sincere as they could be, and their lives were everything that they did, they tried to be pleasing to the Lord. And I saw the point where they met light that they did not have. And at that point, they had a choice. Do you know our life is made up of choices? Every day we have to choose. I'm going to walk in all the light that the Lord gives me. All I want is to hear from the Lord. And if the Lord gives me more light about something, whether I've been living for the Lord 1 year, 10 days, or 50 years, I'm going to walk in all the understanding that the Lord gives me. And I have seen homes, families, individuals before that were sincere. But I saw the point that light came and they walked away from it. And I want to say some of those people, I'm not going to say some of them, every single one that I have observed, you ought to see them now. There is so much difference from what there was. And it is because that every time that we have a choice point and we turn away from that, the growth stops at that point. And if we want to progress and continue on in getting to know the Lord, we have to pursue the truth. The righteous nation that keeps the truth is going to enter into the gates. And this morning, I would like to encourage us to be honest. I want to speak a little bit about John the Baptist, and we won't turn there for the sake of time, but what was it prophesied about him? In Malachi, it said he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Now, I have done a little bit of studying about that. I believe that the true meaning of that verse is he is going to turn the hearts of the children back to God from the least of them to the greatest of them. He came to prepare the way of the Lord. He came and he said, listen, you want to receive the kingdom of God? It's coming. I don't have it, but I want to tell you what you need to do to get ready for it. You need to turn from your evil ways. You need to do everything you can where you can accept the light that is coming. That is Jesus. I had someone talk to me a while back and they said, you know what? I cannot. It was a person that was an alcoholic and they said, I cannot shake this. I don't have the power to get rid of this addiction. I said, do you want to? And he said, oh, so badly. I want, if I could just shake the power of the alcohol, I could be a free man. And he said, I've lost my wife. I've lost my daughter. The judge took her away from me because of the alcohol and the heroin. And he said, if I could just break free of this, I want to tell you, he that speaketh the truth in his heart, the righteous nation that keeps the truth is going to enter into the kingdom. And when we are seeking the Lord meets us exactly where we're at. We have a choice in our life. He is not going to honor us if we sit with our hands in our lap and say, deliver me. Deliver me from this. Overshadow me with your power. You know, the Lord did not override the decisions, the choices that the disobedient Jews made. He appeared to people who did want to serve him. But to the others, why do you think he spoke in parables? He said to the disciples, to you, it is given the mysteries to hear the gospel, but to them, it is not given. But when he said his parables, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. If you have a heart to understand these things, if you really want truth and nothing else, it'll be revealed to you. This is put in a way. He didn't speak in Latin or Chinese or some language that there was no possibility of them ever knowing. He spoke in a way where they could understand if they would turn their hearts to God. What did Paul say? When they turn to the Lord, the veil that is upon their heart will be taken away. When they turn, it means a turning away. And this is what the message of John the Baptist was. My friend said, I told him, I said, listen, you need to pray and you need to seek the Lord. He said, Joseph, I pray every single day. I said, Lord, take this addiction from me. It's got to be more than that. I said, you need to start coming to church. I know you don't have power over the alcohol, but you have power over some stuff. You can quit doing everything that you have the power to do. You need to come to church. You need to start seeking the Lord. You need to get rid of the evil things that are in your house that you know about. You need to stop watching this stuff. You need to do everything you can do. And when you do everything you can do, you know there could be something that you're doing. If you don't have victory in your soul, there could be something over here that you've got light on. But you said, you know what? This is not pertaining to this. I want to be delivered from this, but I want to keep this. It doesn't work that way. You know, the Lord shines light on our path, and we have to walk in the light. I know I don't want to be too harsh this morning, but folks, the Lord has light for us. And His job is to shine the light, and our job is to accept the light that He shines. And when John the Baptist came, obviously we don't have power in our own selves over all sin. My friend doesn't have the power in himself to give up his alcohol, but you come as close as you can, and that's what the message of John the Baptist was. Repent. You need to be sorry, even if you can't stop everything. You need to come as close as you can and let the Lord know, I want the kingdom to come into my heart. And so I'm going to walk in all the light that you shine. I'm going to quit treating the people wrong. It's what Zacchaeus said. You know, he said, Lord, I'm going to restore everybody fourfold. I'm going to do everything I can to get this kingdom that you've got. And the Lord, you know, it was enough. And when we do everything that we can do, it's enough. We don't have to sit here and worry about, oh, you know, I wonder if the light's going to shine to my neighbor next to me and not me. You know, the Lord said, if you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to wonder if we were one of the ones that just weren't elected to get the salvation of God. The Lord is rich unto all that call upon Him. Acts 17 says that the Lord is not far. If we could happily reach out and feel after Him, I get a picture. It doesn't say to just sit with our hands in our lap and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready for You. But we feel after Him. And after we do that, it says, well, He says He's not far from any of us. I'll tell you where He's at. He's at our arm's length. Yes. He's not at our elbow. He's at our arm's length. I hope we can get the analogy, what I'm trying to communicate this morning, that if we seek the Lord with all of our hearts, He will be found of us. If we walk in all the light and all the understanding that we have and that we get, we will grow, we will prosper, we will have victory in our soul. Do any of us have things that we just cannot shake? Attitudes, addictions, propensities to do things, things that we just can't get the victory over? Walk in the light. The righteous nation that keepeth the truth is going to enter into the kingdom this morning. You pray for me.